Today is the federal holiday celebrating the birth of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. 73 years ago. In the 34 years since his death, civil rights issues have changed, as have the people who make up Black America. One place to get a vivid snapshot of Black America today is in the New York City neighborhood of Harlem. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams reports.
Harlem is renowned as a center of Black life in America. It's been home to Langston Hughes, Malcolm X, and the Cotton Club. One of Dr. King's last major speeches was at Riverside Church on the edge of Harlem.
Over the last 8 years, I have had the privilege of preaching here almost every year in that period, and it is always a rich and rewarding experience to come to this great church and this great pulpit.
Dr. King's speech that day voiced his strong opposition to the Vietnam War.
Every nation must now develop an overriding loyalty to mankind as a whole in order to preserve the best in their individual societies. This call for worldwide fellowship that lifts neighborly concern beyond one's tribe, race, class, and nation is in reality a call for an embracing an unconditional love for all mankind.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., speaking in 1967 at the Riverside Church in Harlem. The Harlem that Dr. King knew was filled with Black people whose roots were in Georgia, the Carolinas, and Mississippi. Now Harlem is a much more diverse place. I spoke about the changes with Michael Myers, who heads the New York Civil Rights Coalition, and Dr. Harold Freeman, a cancer surgeon for 34 years at Harlem's North General Hospital. Dr. Freeman has seen the shift in Harlem's demographics, even in his own practice.
Many of the patients are Hispanic, so-called Hispanic, which has many different meanings.
Or you could be treating someone who is a Jamaican American or someone who comes from the Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico, but they all consider themselves Harlem at the start of the 21st century.
That is right. As a matter of fact, particularly striking to me is the ingress of people who are Black from Africa itself. And everyone is called Black in America if you are recognized by your skin color. But the truth of the matter is, culturally, these people are very different from the people that I was treating in 1967 when I first came to Harlem.
Now, Michael Myers, it's now the case, according to the census, that a third of all the Black people in New York City, not just Harlem, but the entire city of New York, are foreign-born. It seems to me that our very idea of what a Black person is kind of outdated.
You better believe it. And in fact, there's a saying now that if you're going to Harlem for soul food, you're obviously not a Harlemite, because people who live in Harlem, soul food to them is Chinese food. You have a great number of restaurants now, Chinese restaurants. You have people who are Asian who own restaurants that serve so-called Black soul food. You have restaurants, so-called Black-owned soul food restaurants. They cater to people who do not live in Harlem and who do not live in New York, but you have busloads of people, tourists, who come in for the soul food experience. Harlem is quite different now than it used to be.
Michael Myers, you are a leader in terms of civil rights in New York City, and I'm wondering how you view the political arena that Harlem made famous with people such as Adam Clayton Powell, now Charlie Rangel is the congressman from Harlem. How does their leadership change with this new varied look of Black America?
I just think that we're going to have to move away from the concept of Black leader into the concept of leader and individual leadership. And what will be the qualities of leadership that we need to have a common culture? We have to move away from the multicultural society in which we live distinctly and differently based on different languages and different customs and different practices, and now share space, share common schools, share common culture, literally adopt each other's children, take care of each other regardless of our race, marry each other regardless of our skin color, vote in terms of our real political interests as opposed to our parochial interests. This is a vision of leadership, I think, that we're going to have to develop in American society.
One last question for the two of you, and I want you to play with me on this. Dr. King comes back to life in the middle of Harlem. Does he know where he is?
Yeah, he knows where he is because Harlem is still majority black. It is still regarded as the capital of quote-unquote black America. We still have a very segregated, racially segregated society. Blacks still, by and large, live with other blacks. Whites still, by and large, live with other whites. So Dr. King would recognize it as a typical, unfortunately, American community. Maybe if he came back in 10 or 15 or 20 more years, Harlem would be so changed, so transformed. There would be such economic revitalization, economic integration, as well as racial integration and multiculturalism, and a sharing of space by more and more people of different hues. He would say, where am I?
Dr. Freeman?
Well, Dr. King said of all of the inequalities, injustice in health is the most unacceptable injustice. He actually said that, his words. So he would recognize this progress. He would recognize Harlem as a place that when he saw it, it was all black and very, very segregated. He would come today and see the things that we have described already on this show, and more movement toward a diverse group of people from many different races. He would say, I like what's happening, but my job is not done. Because if you measure progress by who lives and who dies, which I do, and if you measure progress by the quality of life when people are alive, we still have a long way to go. And he would recognize that point.
Dr. Harold Freeman, director of surgery at North General Hospital in Harlem, and Michael Myers, head of the New York Civil Rights Coalition, who was born in Harlem. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you, Juan.
Thank you, Juan.
Juan Williams, NPR News.